to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. The great Bobby Watson's latest album pays homage to Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, and specifically a line from that speech. "We've come to our nation's capital to cash a check," King said that day. On the album, poet Glenn North offers a searing rejoinder. "The bill is up to $4 trillion now, and man, it's way past due," he says. "What do I have to do to get my 40 acres and a mule?" Critic Bill Brownlee at PlasticSax.com calls Check Cashing Day one of the most important jazz albums by a Kansas City-based artist in recent years. And Bobby Watson joins us in about 15 seconds. Later on this hour, the latest installment of 90 Mile View and Brian McTavish's weekend to-do list. Oh, and we have some poems written by dogs. Seriously. But first up, one of my favorite guests, Bobby Watson, the director of jazz studies at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, and one of the greatest saxophonists on the planet. And professor, always a pleasure to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you, Steve. Great to be here.
Well, so much has been written about the I Have a Dream speech. Why did you feel the need to sort of go back to it again?
It was the 50th anniversary of it. And then after reading the whole speech, there was this part of the speech that...
That's often overlooked, right?
That's the part that's overlooked because the I Have a Dream portion of the speech was off script. And Mahalia Jackson was egging him on.
Sort of prodded him a little bit.
And to tell him about the dream.
She made history when she did it, too.
Yeah. And he had actually done that I Have a Dream speech in Detroit a month earlier. And then I found out, you know, the more I researched and asked around, he had actually did it maybe 10 times before. He'd been working on it. So all his guys and his support people that traveled with him, they had heard it, you know, several times. So it wasn't nothing new, but that's the part that people always
remember. Most. Yeah, absolutely.
But there was a whole large 90% of the speech was about this moral check that the founding fathers had written, and they came to cash, and the check had come up insufficient funds.
So you just read that speech, or did you hear it at the time and sort of make a mental note to yourself?
No, I had to go back and study it, because when the speech first came out, the I Have a Dream part was what everybody focused on. In fact, when I was in high school, I had to learn that part and do it in front of a student assembly, the I Have a Dream part. And, you know, my high voice and stuff, I didn't sound nothing like Martin Luther King.
It wasn't your thing.
but they picked me to do it.
Yeah. And you pulled it off, I imagine.
I pulled it off. Yeah. I like to think so.
When do you recall the line from the speech hitting you, the "we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check"? Were you reading it and going, man, wait a minute, what's that about?
Well, you know, my wife Pam, I bounced everything off of her. And
smart man.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we were looking for a title for the CD. And I had Pam read the speech, and she had said, you know, you should call it Check Cashing Day. And at the same time, Glenn was working on the words to the pieces. Glenn and I got together several times and played him the music. And then I let him just go and see where he came from with it.
And he just was doing his own thing.
Yeah, I didn't give him any suggestions. I mean, I told him what each song was meant, you know, to me, and then left that up to him. You know, there's maybe one line I had to ask him to alter, but other than that, you know,
you screwed something up, eh?
It was one little thing, you know, but it was just, you know.
Well, Downbeat magazine, sort of the Bible of the jazz community, described this album as one part jazz recording, one part poetry slam, and one part essential history lesson, and concluded that it all works beautifully. The poetry slam part of this, again, you brought in poet Glenn North to offer some spoken word on this disc, and that's pretty unusual, Bobby. How big a risk were you taking there, or was it a risk?
Well, I think, you know, in terms of the CDs that I put out over the years, and many of them had provocative titles, to add spoken word is a risk, I think. because
you don't hear a lot of that these days.
No, no. And, you know, usually when they see a Bobby Watson record, they know it's going to get some music on it that's nice and hopefully some tunes that are memorable.
Yeah.
But this one was like, well, I wonder how people are going to react to this, because it's probably the most, political or,
yeah.
You know.
Well, clearly you're making a statement here.
Mm-hmm.
And the statement is what?
The statement is that the dream is not over. The dream is not finished. We have a black president. Mandela just passed away, but we had also the Trayvon Martin thing, and there are other Trayvon Martin type instances in this country. Another was in Florida, a couple in Florida, and then another one in near Chicago, outside of Chicago, with a young lady.
Yeah.
Going. So I mean, it's not over, and I just want to keep everybody
focused on that.
Focused, yeah. We don't want to get complacent, you know. And also the thing that that, you know, Martin and all these people that were with him, they were young people. They started this thing in their 20s, these people, you know, because by the time Martin got the Nobel Peace Prize,
absolutely.
He was still like 34 or something like this, you know. So all that work, maybe 10 years before, he must have started when he was 24, 25, and all these young folks, you know, made such a big difference. And it's kind of a message to the young folks, too, you know, that, you know, we need you guys to still stand up and question authority, because of their work, we are in the position we are now.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that, you know, kick your feet back and enjoy some TV and popcorn and just everything's cool.
You know, what kind of special does it take for a man to stand up in front of, what was it, 500,000 or 2 million, whatever it was, and sort of read the first part of the speech, then hear, you know, Mrs. Jackson sort of saying, Martin, tell him about the dream, and sort of reverse gears on the fly and move into that impromptu, that moment, speech. Man, that's something.
Oh, that took tremendous courage.
Yeah.
Tremendous courage. More courage than I have.
Boy, me too. Well, let's listen to a little bit of music. We'll talk a little bit more about race. Well, I want to do that in a minute, but let's listen to a track from this disc. This is Sweet Dreams from Bobby Watson's Check Cashing Day. I should point out that Bobby Watson appears with his wife, Pam Watson, in a special holiday performance of 12th Street Jump tomorrow evening at 7:30 at Unity Temple on the Plaza. For tickets, call the Central Ticket Office at 816-235-6222. I want to give our listeners, Bobby, a little sense of the spoken word that appears on this disc that we just talked about with Glenn North. This is the title track from Check Cashing Day.
And 10 years ago, Martin shared his dream for justice to roll down like a mighty stream. A dream rooted in reality and the solemn prospect that he had come to the nation's capital to cash a 100-year-old check. Like so many folks in the hood with bills stacked high enough for a bungee cord jump, anxiously looking forward to the first of the month, with 300,000 black voices demanding their pay, August 28th, 1963, was check cashing day. And while America had sufficient currency in her bloated account, and black folks were only requesting a fair amount, like frogs playing basketball on a rubber court, the check still bounced. The first of the month has passed 600 times since Martin uttered those exalted lines, "I have a dream." We hold that phrase in such high esteem, but there was another Martin who also dreamed. His name was Trayvon, and along with a bag of Skittles and a bottle of tea, his dreams were buried 6 feet deep. Slavery never really ended. It just changed forms, from sharecropping to wage restrictions to welfare moms. As Martin declared in reference to so-called emancipation in 1863, 150 years later, the Negro is still not free.
That's Glenn North on Bobby Watson's new disc, Check Cashing Day. You know, Bobby, Glenn North says on here that the bill due African Americans is up to $4 trillion, and now, man, it's way past due. You feel that way? Because you said earlier these are his words, not yours.
I think that there's a thing on there called 40 Acres and a Mule, and we know that that train has left the station. That's not going to happen. And I think he's talking metaphorically in terms of we're not looking for a dollar amount. We're looking for a moral amount of equality and what they say, level playing field. And in fact, you know, like 40 acres and a mule back then represented a chance to start your life. I don't think I would want 40 acres and a mule and have to pay taxes on it and take care of the mule right now, yeah. You know. But 40 acres and a mule, for instance, is a metaphor for equal education. Mm-hmm. So the 40 acres and a mule at that time was what they thought that the black folks would need to start their life on equal footing. Mm-hmm. So today, the 40 acres and a mule is quality education and a chance to succeed. So it sort of goes back and forth between things that were promised and like the check, the moral check, it's not a dollar amount. And when he says trillions of dollars, it relates to the injustices that have happened over the years to different people. you know.
He says, too, slavery never ended. It just changed forms.
That's right. It has.
Tough stuff.
Yeah, it's tough stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it really has. We were talking about how I was listening to MSNBC about how the credit card thing has got people in indentured servitude.
Mm-hmm.
Because they start out, they give them credit cards in college, and then it's impossible to get out of it. Student loans, so many things that, you know, are affecting our young people today. My kids, both of my kids have student loans, and
mm-hmm.
they have credit card debt, and, you know, to get out of it, even if you pay more than the minimum, could take years.
Years.
Yeah. You know?
I'm wondering about the attitudes of the young people that you work with every day at UMKC in your jazz studies program, because, you know, at least I get a sense from my own kids that they view race relations very differently, much more positively than certainly my generation and then obviously older generations. It's a different day in some ways.
It is, and thank God it is. As, you know, if I could be callous, as certain people die off with certain prejudices, the young people come and they have more open views, like with gay marriage and things. This generation is more open, and I just want them to stay on their toes. And, you know, for me, I've never been a political guy like that. I keep politics away from music and usually just talk about it in bars or in my house.
Yeah.
But I figured this would be a chance for me to actually make a stand in my way through the music.
What kind of reaction are you getting?
I'm getting good reaction.
Mm-hmm.
I've been one guy said he thought that the poetry was not necessary, but that's, you know.
You knew that was coming.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. it's, you know, then but basically, it's like you said in the downbeat piece, everybody's like, wow, this is very right on time, and it's beautiful. And I wanted to do another record. I've done so many records. I wanted to do a concept record, something that had a message.
Well, you've been doing sort of concept albums of late. You did the Gates Barbecue
That's
Suite,
right.
which was sort of the same idea, much lighter kind of fare, but
yeah.
still is an homage to Gates Barbecue here in town.
That's right. So
yeah.
That's where I'm at now,
mm-hmm.
Just doing something with a purpose instead of just recording a bunch of songs and having it played on the radio, because I've been there, done that, and I'm very thankful of the reception that I've received over the years for my music. But I have to have a reason now to make a record just besides just having a bunch of songs at home that I want to record. I've tried to tie it to something.
Do you have other concepts that you're noodling around in your head that you want to go to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm dealing with the concept of moving back to Kansas City. I want to do a record like that. Maybe call it Homecoming.
Mm-hmm. When you came back, what 18 years ago now or whatever it
yeah,
was?
Yeah, 14 years
14
ago.
Years ago, yeah.
Yeah, I came back and, you know, being able to hear the wind going through the trees
mm-hmm.
and hearing
I remember you talking about that.
Cicadas and mm-hmm. the sound of the train.
Didn't hear that in New York, did you?
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, out here, the wind through the trees is like being next to the ocean. And the whole thing, lightning, an approaching storm.
That's
how
neat.
That deals, you know. So I'm just looking for ways to tie everything I do from this point on to something that was a part of my life.
Well, again, Bobby Watson and his wife Pam will appear in a special holiday performance of 12th Street Jump tomorrow evening at 7:30 at Unity Temple on the Plaza. Tickets, call the Central Ticket Office, 816-235-6222. Bobby Watson's new album, Check Cashing Day. Happy holidays, Bobby. Always good to have you here.
Thank you, Steve. It's always good to see you.
Let's go out with a little more from Check Cashing Day. This is Blues of Hope. Then we'll take a break, and we'll be back with some doggy poetry. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR.